If you like engines, do you like to talk about engines, then you're at the right place. From Engines 101 to practices that can help you with your machine shop, welcome to the Engine Professional Podcast.
Well, Chuck, here we are again. Another month's gone by. We're into April now, so I'm loving this time of year. I get to put my ski boots away. It's time to dig out the dirt bikes. A little spring action going on, so again, I can't wait for, I'm more of a shorts and t-shirt kind of guy. I'm not good with the ski jackets, but it's nice to finally see sign of spring for sure.
I agree. Do you have to wear boots on that bike, Rob? Don't want to tear your feet off.
Yeah, you do, but it's a different feeling. It's not the same. You can stay warm in dirt bike boots, so it's all pretty good for sure. Yeah. So we've had a lot going on. March was a busy month for us. You know, we had some regionals that we did. We were at a couple shows. I know you did some custom training events. We were at a homeschool conference, Chuck. You and I were over in Ohio. We did a homeschool conference, and I enjoy that kind of stuff. I like to see, you know, these are younger kids. And with being homeschooled, they really didn't have much introduction to trades before. So when they came by our booth and they got to play with some Briggs & Stratton engines and a few parts and pieces, just the look on these kids' faces, it just gets me excited. So what did you think of that show?
Oh, totally. Steve's first time out with us. You and I have done this past couple of years, so this is year three for you and I. But Steve went out with us as well. Brought the kids a bunch of yo-yos with the ARA logo on it, so hopefully they remember us for that. But yeah, absolutely. Inquisitive minds in the youth, right? You know, a lot of questions. What's this part? What's this part do? I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, hopefully we spark some interest and they're our future.
Exactly. We have a little Briggs & Stratton engine that's set up. There's a gentleman there, Rankin Barnes from Crankin' Engines, and he has a Briggs & Stratton engine program that he teaches for the younger kids, and he sets this cordless drill up, and there's a Briggs & Stratton engine, and put the cork in the top. These kids can pop pop the cork by running the drill on the engine, and this shoots the cork probably 20 feet in the air, and it's, you know what, as fun as that sounds, and it's super cool, they're actually learning about the four cycles of a four-stroke engine. I mean, they're beginning to understand the compression stroke of an engine, so that's where it all starts.
Yeah, I'm going to lean my head out of the way, and there's a little engine over my shoulders that, so it's got a light that comes on for the combustion event and so forth, and when we were leaving, Rob's like, Chuck, I think your little engine is going to need an oil change. That thing got a lot of cranking this week.
It did. Those kids were just spinning that thing up, and I don't think they fully understood quite what was going on, but it was a great tool for us to be able to explain it. You know, with a cutaway like that, we can explain, you know, as the piston's going up and down, the valves are opening. You had some really good displays on our table with some really large engine valves, and then we could walk from there over to that cutaway and show just exactly what those valves do. So that was a great conference. I always enjoy that one. We had a chance to do some shop tours. I know Steve and I were up in Port Clinton. We kind of made a stop up there. We try to do this when we're out. If we're going to be at some shows or conferences, we make a point of trying to get in to see some member shops. Lakeland Auto Marine in Port Clinton. I know, Chuck, you've been there before. Chris has got a first-class shop. And, man, if you want to talk about marine as an industry and an economy, Port Clinton is where it's at for sure.
Yeah, that's their livelihood. If it isn't connected to the water, it just pretty much doesn't exist. So
yeah,
pretty interesting. I mean, they're truly a marine town.
It was. There was everything. Everything was marine, boat related. So I was in my, you know, I'm a boat guy. So to see all that action going up there was pretty cool for me. And then once we capped all that off, we have, you know, you had some custom training events that you also did in March, and maybe you can explain to everybody just how that is a member benefit to all our folks and how that works.
Right on, Rob. Yeah. So custom training, if you look at our brochure, it's pretty wide open, and because that's kind of the way we approach it. I've done everything from, you know, working in calibration labs and what gauges need to be used to qualify parts to setting up and running machines, in some instances, you know, like it or not, you know, I end up getting to be a maintenance guy sometimes, because if I go to train someone on, I have to make sure the machine will make a part to spec first. So a lot of times I get to tune on machines before we even start getting into the training. But again, it's everything from, you know, parts qualification, consulting on, you know, maybe flow management. And surprisingly, you know, I came from that environment, and I've been recruited to do that a few times, where they're like, hey, look at my shop. You know, how can I improve my efficiency here? You know, part storage, keeping track of work orders. It's been a little bit of everything. You know, I share that, you know, there was an Amish shop that I went to, and even though they're not connected to the internet, they used Excel. So we used conditional formatting and put a calendar in it to establish, you know, where the jobs were. So everything had an invoice number or a job order number. So they just put that on the calendar, and so, okay, in 10 days, I know it's green. 5 days, I change it to yellow. 2 days, it's red. We got to get this thing out of here. So anyway, you know, they were happy to show me that they had that in their shop and using it when I've communicated with them again. So again, it can be anything from, you know, how do you properly tip a valve to, you know, I've set a, worked with crank grinders and milling machines and boring and a lot of seat and valve stuff. You know, if you take a look at the percentage of our shops, they do more cylinder heads than they do anything else. But, you know, I got something coming up. We're going to be working on a CNC boring machine, CNC home, seat and guide. So that's just around the corner. So yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's a great program. And if anybody's interested, I mean, just reach out to us. Just go onto our website. You'll see there's a custom training tab on our website. And again, Chuck runs this program. And you can have Chuck come right to your shop and help with, you know, if you got a new hire and you want to do some training, or you got a piece of equipment that you've been, you know, sort of frustrated with or fighting with. I mean, these are the types of things that Chuck can help with as far as this program. So again, it's a member benefit to AERA, and especially when, you know, there's not a lot of this kind of stuff going on. I mean, when's the last time you probably saw a sales rep come and actually help you set up a machine in your shop? You know, these kinds of things, these folks are super busy. So this is kind of why Chuck's doing this kind of thing. So it's a great program for sure.
Right. And I headed up, but we have a team, you know, so we have some other resources besides just myself. So we take these things. Again, everything about it's customized, from how we get there, what the agendas are, and I'll be the first to tell you, if we don't feel that we have the strong suit to be there and working with you. And I ran into that with like a camshaft grinder, and you know, it's hard to find anyone out there that knows camshaft grinders. And I told the shop owner, I said, hey, you know, it's been a long while. I'm not going to be really efficient. He goes, well, neither am I. Let's figure it out together. So he made the decision, you know. But I will tell you that, hey, if we're efficient, not a problem. If we're not efficient, maybe we can work it out together, or maybe we should find you somebody else. So anyway, we're just here to help.
No, right on, for sure. Well, before we bring on both Drew and Todd, just a couple things real quick before we carry on. We've got a few more things coming up in the future. We've got April 25th, the Choate Performance Engineering. He's out in Bolivar, Tennessee. He's doing a regional out there. Chuck, I know you're going to be involved in this one. You're doing some speaking at that one. Andy, our other tech, he'll be there. But this one's looking super cool because it's actually going to be some hands-on stuff. So you're probably looking forward to that one.
Right, right. So we're going to set up like 7 or 8 stations. And then they're going to rotate groups to each station. So, you know, seat and guide work, resurfacing, cylinder honing, crank housing bores. There's going to be some stuff on the dyno, hopefully. Chris from Port Clinton, he's going to be doing some stuff with EcoScope. So using the scoping to find issues with mechanical. So again, kind of off of the Epic thing, using electronic methods to find mechanical failures. So this is going to be a pretty broad spread thing. I just got off of a phone call this morning, so Ferromogul is going to have the gurus represented there too. So yeah, going to be some of the engine distributors. So it's not the typical Tech and Skills regional that we do, but I think we're going to do our best to make it a bang up session.
No, for sure. That's going to be a good one. Then we're off to the Netherlands. We're actually collaborating with FTF Machines in the Netherlands. They're doing an engine expo. We've seen some preliminary numbers, and they're expecting a pretty large crowd there. Steve and I will be there for that one. That's May 2nd and 3rd. Again, we've got another Tech and Skills conference. We're doing one up in Canada. That's going to be in Edmonton, and that's on June 7th. And then we'll round out the spring sessions on June 20th at Goodson. So, Chuck, it's racking up a few frequent flyer miles in the next few months, that's for sure. Busy, busy.
Busy, yep. First half of the year, for sure.
Exactly, yep. Well, guys, we've got some, Chuck, this is kind of a treat for us. We've got some guests today, and both Todd Richardson and Drew Barnes, they're part of what they call, it's NACAP, which is the North American Council of Automotive Teachers. They've also got an event coming up here pretty quick, and I'm going to let them talk more about it. Todd, he's from the Utah State University Eastern. Drew is from Vail High School in Oregon. And it's a treat to have these guys. And, you know, I'll let them tell a little bit about themselves. But both Todd and Drew, how are you both doing today?
Doing excellent. Good. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, Todd, tell us a little bit about what you do at Utah State. What sort of program are you running there?
Okay. We've got a master ASE program here that we have a couple of degrees that you can get, a certificate of completion in automotive technology, an associate of applied science, and then they also have the option to get an associate of like science degree and things like that to move on. But we teach all 8 areas of ASE. I've taught all those 8 areas. Right now, not teaching. I'm teaching 6 of the 8. And we've got 2 instructors here, myself and another guy, Scott Edwards. We're a small school. Classes are typically anywhere from 7 to 10. So we get a lot of one-on-one with the students. We're a campus here that has dorms and things, so we have students that stay here from out of town and things and everything. It's a great thing. It's a great job. The best job I've ever had. I've been in the automotive industry since I was 10 years old. My dad bought a parts store when I was 10. And so I was cleaning shelves and putting stock away when I was 10 and have really never left the automotive industry. And so that's 45 years. I'm 55 now. So it's been a few years, and love the automotive industry.
Oh, that's excellent. That's a great background. And Drew, what about yourself? What are you involved with at the high school?
All right, yeah, Drew Barnes. I teach at Vail High School. It's a regular public high school, but we have a 4-year automotive program. We're in rural Oregon, so I'm the only automotive instructor. So similar to Todd, I teach all areas. We do teach the ASE AST standards, so we do all 8 areas. We also do the ASE student certification, so follow the ASE standards through our program. I've been teaching, this will be 17 years, 14 years at Vail High School. I'm a former GMASEP graduate, so I didn't go into the industry to be a teacher. I just kind of became one after a few years of experience. So I worked at a GM dealership, started there actually the Monday after I graduated high school, started there and did the apprenticeship through General Motors ASEP. And then worked at the dealer for a little bit, switched over to the independent side, worked at an independent shop, servicing all aspects of the vehicle before I got into teaching, and loved teaching. That kind of got me into NACAT, where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. So the North American Council of Automotive Instructors, I'm the current president. So I went to my first NACAT conference in 2016, and from then just kind of got involved, served on the board, and I guess kind of maybe voluntold into the role I'm at now, and but love doing it. I know as an automotive instructor, leaving the industry, training was the hardest thing that I really had to deal with. You know, at the dealership, training was just at your fingertips, right? We always had all of that training, and as a teacher, it was a little different. We really had to search it out and find the quality trainings on late model technologies and updates and everything else. So that's why I kind of chose to get involved and stay involved with NACAT. So.
No, that's super. And I know, Chuck, you and I have both been to a couple NACAT conferences before. I know you've done some presentations at a NACAT conference. And
memory serves me right, we were at San Jacinto, so Houston. And then we went to Macomb in Michigan, Warren. So, yep. Yeah, great opportunity. Met some folks, and actually Kevin Leekus with the ASE. That's where he and I first made a connection. I've been working with ASE for many, many years. They used to have an engine machinist program, and Rob could weigh in on that too. But it's kind of why we now have a machinist certification program, because they backed away from that. You know, when you're talking 185,000 automobile technicians versus like 5,000 engine machinists, it was just a program that didn't make sense for them, but it definitely does for us, because that's our whole charge. That's our mission.
So. Yeah. They ran a first class event. So guys, when is your NACAT conference? It's coming up here pretty quick in the next few months, but what are the dates and where's the location on that one?
June 9th through 12th, and we are in Detroit this year. So the host hotel that we're at is the Motor City Hotel and Casino. So nice theme for a good automotive conference. And we got some other activities as well, one of them being the Rouge Factory Tour, and a outstanding lineup of courses to choose from for the week. So,
okay. Yep. No, that's excellent. And where is the best place for instructors to register for that, or how do they go about getting registered for that one?
The easiest would be just go straight to our website, NACAT.org, and there's a tab there for the conference, and it takes you right to all the details with quick links to registration, as well as there's some travel information. The hotel stuff is all right there. And if they do it by March 31st, so coming up, they'll save a little bit of money. There's the early bird incentive for registration going through March 31st. So,
okay. All right. And tell us a little bit about, you know, NACAT and how that plays a role for automotive education. Like, how does NACAT sort of work for you and in your, what you're doing?
Yeah. Todd, you want to take it?
Of course, most of the programs out there are ASE certified, and so we hold these conferences and give the participants an opportunity for their 20 hours of training that's required for ASE to be an accredited program. And the 20 hours are hand selected. We, as a board, we select all of the trainers that are there. What we do is try to offer some technical stuff along with how to teach and how to get the students to learn and remember what you've taught. So along with the technical, you're learning how to become a better teacher while you attend the courses. And we really do turn people away, turn trainers away, and not that they were bringing bad stuff or whatever. It's just we try to get a good mix. Especially with the emerging technologies that are coming out, we try to make sure we're covering the new stuff plus some of the old stuff, just in case we've got a new teacher that's coming along and maybe they have never taught before and maybe they need that electrical course or whatever. So we do keep some of the maybe engine performance stuff. We keep that stuff coming in because it's still there. It's going to be there for a while. And the new teachers need that help also. So So a little bit for the, you know, seasoned teacher. We give opportunities for the teachers to present at times. We have open forums that we hold during the conference. We have opportunities for them to talk to each other, engage with each other during the conference, at social events and things. So the networking that happens is huge also. And we feel like we're a bunch of teachers, and we have organized it to help become better teachers, all of us.
No, exactly. So guys, how would instructors get involved with NACAT? Like how can they, you know, what is it they need to do to become part of your organization?
Well, a couple ways. Obviously, one, come to the conference and check it out and, you know, get a feel for it, see if it's something that's right for them. And then we are a membership. So, you know, being a nonprofit, we rely on those dues of those instructors to try to provide services for them. So they can, again, go onto the website, NACAT.org, and register for membership. You know, lots of memberships out there. Really, it's not that much. It's $75 a year to be part of the NACAT organization, and that provides a lot of member resources. And we're really trying to bolster that part of our organization and our webpage. So we've got lesson plans. We've got a database of all the instructors, so we can put other teachers in contact with when they need something. So we're really, really growing that. So, and then throughout the year, obviously our conference is our main event, right? But our vice president, Ed Martin, started the mentor program. So every couple months we do a webinar online where we pick a topic. We'll get the officers and the board members to kind of facilitate the conversation. And it brings in these new instructors and pairs them with some veteran teachers, and just kind of helps them build their program, whether they can ask questions on specific content related topics. They can ask questions about their classroom management, things like that. And then in between those sessions throughout the year, we try to also offer technical update information. So more for the teachers that are needing that extra training on newer systems. I mean, we do it from EVs to engines to transmissions. So all sorts of different topics that we do there. So that's kind of outside of our regular conference. But yeah, getting involved, to answer your question, Rob, is easy. Once you get that membership, and then we'll get your email in the database, and we're really growing our social media platform. So you're seeing a lot of us on Facebook and LinkedIn. So we're, like I say, really, really getting our name out there, trying to grow the organization to better suit all trainers and instructors as well.
No, that's excellent. And I know, probably similar to a lot of our conferences, and I know, Chuck, you can kind of attest to this, that networking that's involved. I mean, really, that's when you can have that one-on-one conversation with someone across the table and, you know, pick up a business card and have that contact and have that relationship. That just goes a long way with the, you know, again, if you can find someone to share that with, it runs perfect. So,
right. That's probably the most valuable thing, to be honest. I mean, together, you know, again, we use this often, you know, Stephen Covey thing, synergy, 1 and 1 equals 3. So the more we can get together and grow our strengths as a group, it's very, very important.
Agreed. Yep. No, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So guys, just kind of moving off topic just a little bit. I mean, obviously with doing what you're doing and instructors, tell us a little bit about some of the challenges you're seeing with, in regards to, you know, students moving forward, maybe with what you're seeing in the industry, maybe just share a bit with, what some of those challenges are that you see every day.
Oh, that's a deep subject. A lot to it. You know, let's see, where do I start? It's getting tougher and tougher to attract students to want to do this. And, you know, part of it is I think it's just the persona of being an automotive technician or whatever. Maybe they've they've knocked it down a few notches or whatever. The wages seem to not have trended up as high as they need to. I don't think they're getting paid enough for what they have to know, what they have to learn, how good they need to be and things. So the industry stuff, but you know what? It's such a rewarding industry. And we keep teaching the students that, telling the students, it is so rewarding to help people. And really that takes that mindset. So if we find those students that are, willing to put the work in, to be good at something, we can really make them be successful. They talk about the generational things and things. I don't believe that stuff. I think that the students that I have coming through, the ones that are wanting to do this are, they know that they need to be here on time. They need to do all the things they need to do. And of course they have character flaws just like everybody else, but that's the world we live in. And we're going to have all those different personalities come through. But there's room for everyone. All of this, anybody who wants to be in the automotive industry, there's room for somebody, whether it be in parts, in service, in sales. It's a huge industry. As I was introducing myself earlier, I remembered one time I thought I left the automotive industry. I was so tired of, I was in a college town. It was low wages. And so I went to work for a manufacturing company. It was Morton International. And we were building airbag inflators for cars. And I was like, oh, I'm leaving the automotive industry. I'm going to go do something different. And I realized I'm right back in it. I'm still there. So the automotive manufacturing and the parts manufacturing, the machinist side of it is great. That's a tough one for us to break into, as far as education goes and things. We've still got our old machine shop tools here that we teach on. We teach head rebuilds mainly, but we can still hone an engine. And I'm telling you what, that kind of stuff is what attracts the students. When we've got engines torn apart and we have a group of students come through touring the facility and they see that stuff, they are wanting to be part of that. And so engine rebuild, even though we don't do it in the shop, it is a huge part of the program and it's what the students want to do. That's what we do. We just can't spend as much time on it as we want for sure. But it's what we want. It's an interesting industry to be part of, but it is very fulfilling, very satisfying to be part of it and become successful in it.
No, agreed. And, when I'm listening to you talk about how the students are enthusiastic about the machining side of it, of course, that's our side. Both Chuck and I come from the machining side, so that kind of excites us to hear that. But the one thing that we always talk about and emphasize is, really, you can't begin to learn how to diagnose them if you don't understand how they work or what's going on internally. And it's the program that you're teaching there, Todd. Even when they get into the machining part of it, them understanding just how that works and what's going on is going to help you diagnose and fix it. So
you're exactly Drew, right.
Yeah. Drew, tell us a little bit about, what are you seeing in the high school level? Are you seeing any challenges coming up or anything?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, obviously, we're constantly faced with those challenges. But the first thing I would say, echo what Todd said, we hear a lot about the generation and kids don't want to learn and, they're just not taught the same. And I totally agree with Todd. These students want to learn. Sometimes it's just a different approach to what we need to do. Once they find that pathway, in some cases, I think students today are better than they were when I first started. The experience is a little bit different, even in where I'm at rurally, students used to come in with a little more of a background, they've used hand tools and things like that. And, we don't see as much of that, but in some cases, I think that's a little bit better because it's kind of like, when you start an early education at like a kindergarten level, kids learn so much. So fast. And when you get kids with no experience and you get some enthusiasm, they really do learn it quickly. But the mechanical systems, electricity is becoming easier to teach and mechanical systems are becoming harder just because of kind of where we're at in today's world. And tearing apart engines is truly a highlight of our program as well. Once they get into that, the hands-on learning is still what keeps our programs going. A lot of the challenges, I believe, are more like administrative. A lot of the stuff we deal with outside of teaching. For me, I don't have a lot of challenges I'm faced with for the day-to-day. It's just some of the other requirements, the bureaucracy in education, I guess. We work around that and we do our best. Feeding the programs, we do have to do a bit more recruiting, it seems like, trying to sell the programs and show what we really are all about. We're starting at our middle school, though. Our school is very supportive of the CTE programs that we have. So we use a program called U-Science that kind of helps find the kids' strength. And then you're not just having kids put into a course by just their interests alone. It's kind of by their aptitudes. So we find those kids with that mechanical aptitude, and we can kind of steer them into that, even if they're not wanting to be an automotive technician, really telling them what careers and what things they can look at that can be, what can this program offer, from problem solving to the electrical to the mechanical systems. A small percentage in a high school realistically are going to leave the program and be automotive technicians, but many of them are going to go into related fields, even in the automotive industry. So, the next thing as far as a challenge, obviously, is staying up to date with your equipment, trying to maintain a level of funding to get what you need to have those students working with what they're going to see in the industry. Because it's every ASE area has different things that they need to be able to work with and have exposure and experience on. So really trying to balance those funds to best suit the needs of the students, as well as more importantly, the needs of the industry, what they need experience with.
No, exactly. And, I guess for our shops that are listening, we probably can't encourage you enough to not form a relationship with your high school or with your local trade school. Those relationships, it could be a great program for, maybe you've got a couple students, Drew or Todd, that you could recommend to our shops that are coming out. And so just, again, to establish that relationship is probably a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I think that's a very important comment there, Rob. That it's a two-way street, because the guy in the shops probably has something to share, but he has a need. He needs the people that he can also share the experiences and so forth that, of what he's seen in his shop or the current maybe types of failures and so forth. And that probably, it's something that, again, you can learn like all the basics in school and stuff, but you can't get the experience until you get your hands on it and stuff. So I think as the schools and the shops, if they could work more closely together, it's a benefit all the way around.
And Drew, it's cool to hear when you talk about recruitment. I know you pretty much have to plant the seed. I don't know, Todd, listening to your story, I mean, your seed was planted pretty early in life. And I know mine's very similar. Just thinking about back to like grade 8 and 9, we had power mechanics. We were working on the Briggs and Stratton engines in school. And, that's kind of the age that if you're going to get into this or think about, the automotive related field, we got to do it early. Like you said, Drew, middle school, that's kind of a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. We do a couple of things to kind of help with that. One of them is goes kind of what Chuck was talking about, having those relationships with industry. We pair up with a local shop and we do a junior tech night where we're actually bringing in elementary and middle school age kids. And we set up all sorts of stations, some of them that you would think seem very simple, but, you kids that have never worked with tools and things. But, we set up stations all around the shop. Modern Auto Service, the name of the shop we work with, and Ryan Baxter, the owner, does just an outstanding job with community relations and tying in with the schools. But I mean, they're doing everything from learning about HVAC systems, building Lego cars and racing them. We do a spark plug challenge where they're working with some old small block Chevy heads, just getting students some of that dexterity. You know, we have bolts where they have to match up thread sizes and things like that. So they go around and it's just kind of a day of fun, but it gets those kids to see, oh, there's a lot of stuff here. They can find that interest level and shows them the shop and shows them the school. So it really pairs well with that.
No, that's great to hear. That sounds like a cool program. And like you say, once they get that bug, you know, like it's just like what Todd, you know, what you were saying about when the kids are get to do some hands-on engine building stuff and get to feel that, you know, that engine. That's all it takes to get that passion going. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, we also pair up with industry. We do some industry training with some of the shops around town and things, but. And recruitment is tough. That's the thing that we struggle with the most. And just listening to Drew today, I got some ideas for myself to go out and do some things. So learn something today, maybe to help my program out too. But it really is we've got to find the students that have the interest in it and get them hooked in and going, because it does take a special person. This is not something that just anyone can do. It has to be the right person with the mechanical ability, that logical thinking, and identifying those is the hardest part.
No,
I'm gonna jump back to one of the things you said earlier was about the, you know, teaching the basics to your instructors, and that's one of the things that we often struggle with as a whole. Because as we advance our knowledge, we forget where we were, and we sometimes aren't very good at sharing, you know, the basics again. And I'm involved in a couple of other groups, and we get into that. Okay, where do we start with this? You know, you look at the people that are signing up for it. You got to remember, there's always someone new. There's always a new instructor. There's always a new student. So it never hurts to go over the basics. And then you'd mentioned, you know, the electrical stuff. Now that is such a part of the automotive functionality, I mean, it's multiple electrical systems, communication systems, and so forth. It is just so important. So the machine shop, he needs to kind of know some of this stuff, because a lot of times that's his pitfall. He knows nothing about the ancillary controls on the engine. And so that communication breakdown makes it hard to get to the root cause, what truly is the failure. And we've been getting quite the education and working with Chris on scoping and diagnostics and stuff, and trying to bridge that gap. And we've even seen an increase in the shops that are becoming members of AERA, our automotive repair shop / engine shop. Again, so, you know, they're taking heads off. They may not be a full-fledged machine shop, but as you mentioned, you know, the cylinder heads, you get into that. Well, what's the first thing you're going to take off mechanically, you know, hard parts of the engine? Usually the head comes off first, and then you have to make a decision. Well, is it an engine replacement in lieu of a cylinder head repair? So, again, it just to say that it really, really is important to touch the basics. For everyone. I mean, I think we all get guilty of that. We've got experience and we forget how low level we need to start with what we're sharing.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I've been teaching now for about 12 years. I think this is my 13th year. And, you know, we go through cycles on everything and we become cyclical and things. But, my first few years teaching, first two or three years teaching, just because I was learning to teach, I focused on the basics really good and things. And I think my students came out more prepared. And then the better I got at teaching, the more I thought I could stuff into it. And then I realized that, oh, I'm giving them too much. And so we really focused. So I'm back to the basics. That's kind of my new motto too, is in schooling, in teaching is where we are focused on those basics. You know, what you need to make the engine run. It really comes down to that. And teaching them that, just that logical process of deciding, you know, where do I go next? What, you know, I know this, I don't know this, where do I go next? Another things that we're focusing on also, and I think it's industry-wide, and I think Rob mentioned this too, is you got to know how it works. And that is why we tear things apart. That's why we take engines apart. That's why we take starter motors apart still. We don't, you know, in the automotive industry, we don't repair that stuff, but you do have to take it apart. You have to know what's going on. And so every semester I get on my soapbox and I preach to my students, you have to learn how to teach yourself too, because you're not going to learn everything in this school. I'm not going to teach you everything you need to know. So you have to learn how to teach yourself and learn on your own. And so I teach with description operation of, you know, things on a car, and make them read it out loud. It's pretty crazy to watch. It's a completely, completely different language than the rest of the world speaks in. And back to the basics is a great, great thing to talk about. And we're there.
Well, it's funny, you know, being the mentality that we are. So we're problem solvers, you know, and when I mentioned that, going back to the basics, and you just sit there and you picked apart how you as a instructor teacher are. And a friend of mine said many years ago, you know, you kind of challenged his sister who was a teacher. He says, are you a teacher for 20 years? Or are you a 1 year teacher 20 times? You know, you want that 20-year teacher that looks at what they're doing and analyzing themselves and say, okay, I need to change my strategy so that I get through better to these guys, and not be 1 year teacher 20 times.
Same. Yeah, I like that.
Straight way.
For sure. Well, guys, I appreciate your time. I wish you luck with your upcoming event, and hopefully, you know, things go well. Chuck and I are going to be back at your event here, you know, in the future. And it was a first class deal, so we look forward to getting back there as well sometime. And I appreciate your time today. Just a little bit of insight on what you do. Our listeners can get an idea from the instructor side, just what goes on. And you know what, Chuck, I don't know about you, but after talking about Drew and Todd, I'm kind of excited, you know, like there's some stuff happening, and there's some future there. So it's a cool deal for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate you guys being on with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for the time. And just to plug in for AERA, it is a great organization. I love the emails, love everything that I get from you guys. And thanks again. Thanks for the time to let us talk about what we're passionate about.
Yeah, no, for sure. And thank you guys for what you do. It's sometimes it can be a thankless job at times, I'm sure. So we do appreciate it, definitely. So Chuck, in saying that, I mean, looking at some of the students coming up, you know, kind of works well with, we've got an online training program that we have. And for those, you know, students that are maybe doing lots of shop time and they don't have time to learn the engine side of it, at least we've got an opportunity there. We have our online training program. So it teaches you all about engine theory. It gets you your certification for engine machinist and cylinder head machinist. So if anybody, like I say, listening, if you're thinking about getting into the engine industry, or maybe you're a new hire in a shop and you've been looking to try and get certified some way in something to do with engines, just go out to our website at aera.org. You'll see a section there that says tech, and then you'll just choose online training and you can learn more about that. So it's a great program.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, it's that daisy chain. It's connecting the dots. So even if you're going to be a technician, it helps you to communicate, to better understand what's going on in the machine shop. And likewise, you know, I would challenge our machine shops to try to find some diagnostic stuff, because they are so connected now. The problems can be so large. We're not understanding the other guy's playground a little bit. So I think it's a great opportunity. So even, you know, the technicians that are listening, look at the engine machinist program. And again, reiterate, I challenge you to try to understand what's going on the outside of the engine and how it impacts the engine.
Agreed. Yep. So for listeners, I mean, if you want to subscribe to our Engine Professional podcast, please do so. We're on all the different podcast streaming platforms. You can also email us. We have an email address. That's eppodcast@aera.org or ORG. We're always looking for your feedback. If anybody has any topic ideas or anything they want to discuss, by all means, please reach out to us by the email. And again, we just want to thank our listeners for taking the time and tuning in. We do appreciate it. So Chuck, you know, we talked about the weather. We talked about things becoming spring. You know what that means? It means that we're going to be mowing grass here pretty soon. So I don't know about you, but you can either be excited about that or you cannot be excited about that. But that's what we got to look forward to.
Get the goats.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, again, thank you for your time, Chuck. Till next month, man. You have fun.
Likewise. Until next time.